Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everybody. We're here. Welcome to the first official preview episode for 2024 Copa America, brought to you with our partner, Better Edge. Wow, we've been talking about this for a while, Gian. I'm here, as always, with my amazing co-host, Gian. And, you know, everyone's used to us doing our normal Inter-Miami-focused, Messi-focused content. But we've been teasing that we're going to be doing something with Copa America and kind of broaden our horizons from just Inter Miami. And that's exactly what we're going to do. And this is the first episode of what will be a series of episodes where we're previewing and talking about Copa America, the games, the competition, the match days, the bracket, who's playing well, who's not, all of those things, giving you our opinions. And it's all brought to you with our partner, Better Edge. Now, Gian, my friend, mi amigo, please tell me about Better Edge.
Yeah, so we're excited, obviously, to start off this Copa America coverage. We're going to talk a lot about what we expect throughout this Copa, also about Argentina, who played last night. But we're excited to talk about our new partnership that we're doing with Better Edge. It's an application or a mobile app or website that you can visit and you can place your bets. It's actually with your peers, which is a pretty interesting and fun concept that not many others have done out there. So right now, if you're placing your sports bets, you're maybe looking at Prize Picks, you're maybe looking at the Hard Rock app, where you're basically betting against the house and they take their fees and they take their percentages. Better Edge has come out with a new platform where you can basically place the bets that you feel comfortable taking. You can look at what the over-unders are, set your own that you want, and then basically place your own bets, put it out there in the marketplace, because it's basically like a stock market for betting, a marketplace. And then others who are also on the app and who are also on the website can look at those bets and decide, hey, do I want to take that bet? And there you go. It's basically, again, a marketplace that makes it very easy for you to find others that are going to be betting against you. If I wanted to, I can place a bet out there. Ashley can look at that bet and say, hey, I'm going to bet against Gian, and who knows?
Like one every of us episode could win. We do.
like every episode when it comes out to prediction. So if we wanted to, we can do something like that on Better Edge. So it's a really great app. Right now, we've got a great promotion going on. If you use code 5RSN and you open an account over at Better Edge, you can actually get $20 right into your account and start using that right away to start placing your bets. So we're actually going to start doing that as we move along into the next episodes. Obviously, this is a new partnership, but going into our next episode, which is probably going to be around Tuesday, we'll make sure to announce that to you guys. We're going to get everything set up where we're going to put some bets out there and see if some of you all want to go ahead and take on it and just have some fun. We'll place some bets on who's going to win or amount of goals, something yet to be determined. But we're excited for this partnership. We're excited for their sponsorship. And we're just happy to do the Better Edge Copa America show for what's left of Copa America.
Absolutely. Yeah, you couldn't have said it better myself. And look, we know that all of our listeners are not necessarily just people who bet, which is fine. We're going to be giving normal preview and normal thoughts. And of course, always talking about Messi. But yeah, this is going to be a really exciting, you know, as we say, we live in Miami, right? We live in the US. And so part of the reason we started the show and why, you know, we've been so excited with Messi and everything is just how much soccer, football, but soccer is what we'll call it, has grown in the U.S. And this is, you know, something that we've been waiting for, which is that the U.S. is hosting Copa America. And then in 2 years from now, we're going to be hosting the World Cup. And then, you know, we have Messi playing. We have all these great players playing in the MLS. So much exciting things happening with soccer. And so this is just the first example of it. And we're really excited. Look, Copa America, they have easily the most passionate fans in the world, right? Especially fans of Latin American teams, Central American teams, really, really strong fan base. And so, you know, this is sometimes new territory a little bit for the U.S. And you see in the stadiums and you see in the games, just the excitement, the passion, the energy. And we're really excited to talk about it. We're going to do episodes after every match day. You know, this is obviously a preview, but like once we finish match day one, two, three, once we get into, you know, the quarterfinals, semifinals, et cetera, making round of 16, we're going to be giving our thoughts, who are our ideas and who's performing well, who's not performing well. So much to talk about that it's exciting. And we wanted to start the first episode by talking about our namesake, right? And so we waited until today to premiere this because we wanted to watch the game last night. But Argentina has kicked off the Copa America 2024 as the reigning world champions and Copa America champions, beating Canada 2-0 last night. And it was a difficult game, right? It was some people thought it maybe be not a walk in the park, but that obviously Argentina is ranked much higher than Canada, and have just won a World Cup, have the greatest player of all time playing. What's it going to look like? And so, you know, from the atmosphere to the game to the score, what were your thoughts on it, Gian?
I thought it was a much more interesting game than I thought it was going to be, and I think that maybe others thought it was going to be. I think Canada played a really good game, especially on the defensive end against an Argentina team who is ranked number one in FIFA, who's the defending champions of the world and of Copa America. And I think that we expected, some of us expect, I have some group chats there, soccer, football chats that we talk about, you know, our predictions and that sort of thing. And everybody had in my chat 4-0, 4-1, 5-0. Yeah. Like they didn't expect Canada to put up such a good game against Argentina. You know, Canada didn't qualify to Copa America via the CONCACAF Nations the CONCACAF Nations League, rather. They had to, you know, go into a playoff, so they weren't looking that good going into this, really into this tournament. They have a new coach in Jesse Marsh. It's a team that hasn't had too much time together, so that's why we kind of expected it wasn't going to be this type of game. But man, they played great pressure on, yeah, Argentina. They really played they did a good mix of playing a high line up front, and then when they got, you know, when Argentina got onto their side of the field, they played a very low block as well, really closing those passing lanes, making it very difficult for Argentina. And I think that it easily could have, you know, Canada also did very well on the counterattack. They had some counterattack chances where they could have scored one, two goals, clear chances that they weren't able to finish. But on the other end, Argentina was very forgiving, more than we've seen them in the past, and Messi as well. Messi didn't have the best game that we've seen and been accustomed to with him on Argentina. But at the same time, he was still man of the match in my eyes. You know, he had one assist. An insane assist. He had the key pass that ended up in the first goal, that he put a pass into the area. So that was almost like an assist as well. And then he had chances at goal. Man, Dibu Martinez, his ability to pass the ball from his area, and he gave Messi multiple chances, one-on-one opportunities against Canada's goalkeeper, and unfortunately Messi uncharacteristically wasn't able to finish. But Messi could have, if it was not his quote-unquote unlucky day, because it wasn't working out for him, he could have finished with two, maybe three goals. And same for the rest in Argentina. He wasn't the only one missing the goals, but that was an interesting game. Argentina, obviously, as we expected, had most of the possession, but if we look at shots on, they had 19 shots, 9 of them were on goal. They had opportunities to make this a much bigger win than they could have.
Yeah, agreed. I think it was surprising watching the game that, you know, like after the first 15, 20 minutes, I was like, wow, where I'm expecting to see a bit more ruthlessness. But, you know, tournaments, big international tournaments still, I think, bring nervous energy to everyone, even the world champions. I mean, look at their first game against Saudi Arabia, right? Very infamously in the World Cup. And it turned out okay. So
they're notorious for starting off slow.
Nerves, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Does that, yeah.
Yeah, and so we saw kind of like very uncharacteristic misses for Messi, but he of course got the assist, and I'm sure he's going to be fine. He's going to turn it on, and you know, it'll be good to see the rest of the team. You know, it was a good goal by Lautaro Martinez, and you know, DePaul played well, Christian Romero, a couple of those familiar faces as always. Angel Di Maria started. I don't know if everyone expected him to start, but he did on the right wing. You know, Alexis McAllister has kind of cemented his role. Enzo Fernandez did not start. I know he's still kind of, I think, recovering from his injury. Lisandro Martinez did start on the defensive end. So, you know, a lot of those familiar faces still there and still picking it up. And to your point, look, Canada, yeah, I wasn't, you know, I think in the World Cup qualifying, actually the last cycle, they played really well and they won the CONCACAF, I think, qualifiers, right? So they were, you know, the team had been really good and improved vastly. They have Alphonso Davies, they have Jonathan David, they have a couple really good pieces. Alphonso Davies is,
you know, quarterfinal in Jamaica. So they did pass groups. They did fairly well.
Yeah, and I mean, in, you know, Alphonso Davies is one of the best left backs in the world, really, if you're being honest. So it's good, and Jesse Marsh did a good job. You know, I think people were really not expecting a good, you know, have felt like they had a long way to go before this next World Cup, but it was definitely a good game. It was more interesting, and I think it's good when there's, you know, more levels of competition, not just like two good teams and everyone else stinks. Having that balance.
Yeah, completely agreed. And to your point, Alphonso Davies, a guy that's in the view of Real Madrid, that, you know, possibly a player for them. So I think that Canada, if you're Canadian, I think that you, despite losing, basically are coming out a bit happy in the sense of you think you still have a chance. I know that it's tough though, because every match means something especially in group stage, right? So that one loss is tough, but you've got a bit of confidence knowing that maybe you can go into this tournament and maybe make some noise after Argentina. You know, you can play against Peru and Chile. Those are two really tough opponents. So, but you know that you went against the best in the world and you played a good match. Hopefully that'll translate to their next few games for them.
100%. Yeah, agreed. And you know, I think we're going to talk about the U.S. in a little bit, not to jump too much ahead. But this is also, and for Mexico too, this tournament is really like the practice round, right, for hosting the World Cup and trying to see how good you are compared to real competition and how you can handle the high stakes and building towards something. And I think Canada are on the right track, especially with that performance from Jesse Marsh, right? Like if you have another 2 years with him, you keep developing the talent. It was good. So they should definitely be proud of that performance. They still have two more group stage games to play. You never know what's going to happen. That's the good thing about international tournaments. You really never know what's going to happen. But part of what we're doing in the show is we're going to try and predict what's going to happen. So let's talk about just outside of Argentina and Messi, which I think we can all agree are the clear favorites, right? They're who's hoping and expected to win the final, to make it to the final at the very least, and potentially win what would be three major tournament trophies in a row, which would be amazing. But there's other teams, a lot of famous teams, a lot of important teams that are going to be playing in this tournament too, that have a chance as well. And we're going to talk about them. So let's start with this. I'm going to kind of, in this segment, I'm going to say the team, and then I want you to say if you think that they're a favorite or if they're going to flop, okay? And then maybe give your reason why. Okay?
Let's do it.
Uruguay,
for me, they're a favorite, 100%. I think Uruguay is right behind Argentina, one of the top teams, if not one of Argentina's biggest, I think, rivals right now. They are really playing at a top level. They've got great players. They've got Darwin Nunez, who is always somebody that can score at any given moment, and that can, I mean, in Europe, he's doing. And I think that that's one of their top players. They've got Luis Suarez, who is probably not going to be starting, but he's a leader, a guy that obviously we're very familiar with at Inter Miami. And they've got a great mixture of youngsters, and they've got a great mixture of a veteran presence. As I said, with Luis Suarez there, I'm sure he's going to be basically like a second coach on there. And yeah, I mean, if it's to me, if it's not Argentina, I think Uruguay is probably the second one, even above a team like Colombia and Brazil. So that for me is definitely a favorite.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, also, you know, you have Federico Valverde, who plays for Real Madrid, who's just one of the, you know, some of the best techniques in the world. Rodrigo Bentancourt, incredible midfielder for Tottenham. A lot of pieces, right? A lot of really good pieces in each phase of the field that, to your point, definitely leads them to be a favorite. And so it will be interesting to see how they progress. And so, yeah, agreed. Favorite. Next one. Now this is where maybe we start to get really in the conversation. Brazil.
That one I think is an interesting one. Brazil, I think because of the name, because of the history, is always going to be up there at the top as one of the, I don't know, favorites, but one of the teams that can always definitely get the job done and win. They've got top class players, maybe not the Brazil that we're used to, you know, but they still got some top class names in there. Obviously, they have Vini Jr., who has been in discussions as a Ballon d'Or winner coming up. He plays in Real Madrid. They just won the Champions League, and he is probably, to me, in the conversation as one of the top forwards right now, wingers, yeah, however you want to see that, in the world today. They've got a youngster in Endrick that is also world-class, that is a great player. They've got Rafinha, who plays for Barcelona. I mean, and on the attacking end, they're pretty set.
Rodrigo
as well from Real Madrid. There are some questions in other parts of the field, but they're an offensive juggernaut right now with just those names that we mentioned right there. So I think that they're definitely going to be in the conversation. There are some teams above them, to the one point that we just spoke to right now, like Uruguay, still above Brazil in my eyes. I look at Brazil, and Brazil to me is maybe the fourth team as far as like power rankings are concerned, but I still see them as a flop. And the reason I'm going to say flop is because of the fact that those that have high expectations on Brazil, as they typically do, I don't think that they're going to meet those expectations in this Copa America. I think they're going to flop what everybody thinks a typical Brazil team should be doing.
Yeah, I agree. I hope we don't agree on every single one, but I do agree with you on this just general discussion. I mean, you know, they do have Alisson in goal, who there's only maybe two or three, you know, goalies I would choose over him in terms of who I want to be, you know, defending my net. Maybe I would choose Thibaut Courtois. Maybe I would choose Manuel Neuer. Maybe I would choose Dibu Martinez, you know, but very, very few. Like, he's still one of the best goalkeepers in the world. I think you have in the midfield, you're going to have Bruno Guimarães. You're going to probably have Lucas Paqueta, who both are playing very well in the Premier League. And that's obviously a very high level of competition. But they don't have Neymar. And I think that's something that, like, it sounds kind of like a throwaway comment because, you know, he's a little bit older and, you know, has had his issues. But he is still the talisman of Brazil, and he is still the leader, and he's, you know, the person who in a lot of times in major tournaments gets those goals, gets those moments, leads passion. I think Vinicius Jr. definitely has it in him, but I don't know if it's the torch has been completely passed over, right? So I think that they're going to miss Neymar's presence and his playmaking and just his overall veteran leadership on the field. And I think, to your point, yeah, I don't think they're going to make it past the quarterfinals, probably, which is for Brazil is flopping. So yeah, I think, to your point, that's I'm in a similar space. And then I'll say the last team in terms of kind of like the upper echelon favorites category, is Colombia, who maybe as of even 2 years ago, I wouldn't have said would be even close to that, but is on right now a crazy unbeaten streak, playing excellent, completely new style, and are gonna make some noise this tournament, or at least are expected to.
Yeah, I think to me, when I'm looking at the other teams, I think they're probably third in line in my opinion, as far as strength and the ability to win this tournament, right behind Argentina and Uruguay, above Colombia. They won Copa America in 2001. Since then, they haven't reached the final. They obviously didn't qualify to the 2022 World Cup, but since then, they've been on track. They've been playing really well. To your point, they have that unbeaten streak. In Copa America and in World Cup qualifiers, they're 3-0-3 right now, unbeaten. They recently beat Brazil. So, you know, that goes to what we're talking about, the top four. They've beaten Brazil already. And they're just a really strong team. They've got a really good mix to what I had said before about Uruguay. They've got a really good mix of young players and veteran presence. They've got James, who is a conductor in the midfield, who went missing for a bit due to injuries. And we saw, you know, over the last couple of years with Colombia, and Colombia didn't look exactly the same. But once James made his way back onto the field, you can see that they look much better on the playmaking side. They look much better from the creative side. He makes a world of a difference. You've got the forward for Colombia. I just had a brain fart right now. Luis Diaz, that is just simply great in the Premier League, a great goal scorer. So they've got, I think they're very well set in all aspects, in all different lines. And this team is definitely going to make noise. They've played really good games as of late, even now in the, you know, in the friendlies leading up to today. And for me, they're the third team to look out for. They're the guys that can be, when you look at teams that can beat Argentina, I think it's Uruguay and Colombia. So for me, they're a favorite up there, top three team.
Yeah, I think
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I think it will be very interesting to see, because, you know, look, their record so far and their unbeaten streak, there have been World Cup qualifying games in there, which obviously are important, but this is also counting a lot of friendlies, you know, a lot of times when sometimes the international teams don't have their best players playing. I think this will be a really big test, right? Like, this will be when everyone's giving their A game, and you're going to really see, are they back to the level that we maybe expected from them in the past? And so that will be a very interesting team to watch. I think, you know, them, Brazil, you know, a couple other teams can, you know, make a couple shocks, right? And either find themselves really far or an early exit, which will make it interesting. And so now I kind of want to float around a bit, right? We're going to just talk about teams who are not the favorites, but maybe aren't necessarily flops. Maybe they're somewhere in between. Maybe we don't know what they're going to look like. And this will be a tournament where we're going to figure it out. And so start with Mexico. Mexico is an interesting team, right? It's a team where the heritage and the El Tri has been a part of, especially CONCACAF and just being like what was considered in North America, the elite team of this area and, you know, heritage of soccer, but have definitely struggled in recent years.
Yeah, I for me, look, El Tri can surprise people, I think. Sometimes they don't play well, and then they show up in tournaments and they do excellent. They're a team that I think that is always going to kind of be sticking around. They're going to be, you know, just lurking around. You never know what they're going to do, and they can pounce on you. And I think that this Mexico team has struggled as of late. You know, obviously, when we talk about the U.S. and Mexico and that rivalry, I think there have been discussions that U.S. over the last couple of years has basically taken the helm and that rivalry and basically taken a step above them. So I think that the U.S. is has better chances maybe than Mexico does. But, you know, Mexico also doesn't have the same players that I think it's had over the past few years. You know, like Memo Ochoa is a guy that's been there for a long time, been the staple on that team, and he's not going to be around for this Copa America. He's not on the roster. Chucky Lozano, Raul Jimenez, these are guys, again, that are, just have been the mainstays on this team and the players that they could depend on, and they don't have them for this cup. So there are a lot of fresh faces. So I think that it's going to be, to me, this Mexico team is coming in here, and you know, every team wants to win, but this is a Mexico team that's going to, I think, use this tournament as a learning experience and trying to see really how good they are. Maybe they'll surprise some of us, but I think that, you know, just leading up to Copa America, they lost badly to Uruguay, barely to Brazil. And they're just more of like in a tune-up phase, I think. I don't think they're ready to make noise yet in this Copa America.
Yeah, agreed. I think they're also part of that transition to like trying to put what is going to be like their absolute best for the 2026 World Cup. Yeah. Similarly to Canada and you know, the U.S. who we'll talk about now, actually, before we get to others, let's talk about the U.S. So obviously I am from the U.S. and I am a supporter of the U.S. men's national team and women's team, but for this instance, the men's national team. And over the last 4 years, there's been a lot of really exciting moments because we finally feel like we have a golden generation of such, where we have the most talented group of players to ever play for the U.S. and the, you know, who are playing all over Europe, who are playing at a really high level, obviously led by Christian Pulisic, but you have Weston McKennie, you have Gio Reyna, you know, you have Tyler Adams, Timothy Way, a lot of really great talent who are playing in Europe at a super high level. And we were starting to win a lot of tournaments in CONCACAF, you know, Nations League, Gold Cup, etc., you know, easily qualified for the World Cup, made it to the round of 16. But I will say that since then, a lot of disappointment has been coming from that because, one, you know, the coaching, which we're not going to get into. We can have a whole separate episode about this, and we're going to talk about it a little bit on Tuesday with our special guest, who we're not going to tell you yet, but we'll be talking more about it. So I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I will say this is a really important tournament for the U.S. because they could easily be a team where we suddenly blink and we're like, oh, wow, look at that, like round of 16, maybe quarterfinals, like they're really putting it together. They're really, you know, they're showing the talent they have. I mean, Christian Pulisic was absolutely incredible for AC Milan this year. Weston McKennie, absolutely amazing for Juventus. Like, these are top quality players. And so on any given day, they can win and they can put a lot of quality. Same with Timothy Way, absolutely incredible quality. But they could also be out in the round of 16 and they could not finish first in their group and they can get embarrassed by a team like Brazil, like Colombia, like any of them. And if that's the case, then it really makes you start to question what is the Federation doing? Why are they not bringing in maybe a coach who can like maximize this talent and be able to know, like, you don't host World Cups very often. You don't host Copa Americas very often. And you have your golden generation who are all in their mid 20s at their prime, ready to go. I think they're going to fall into the flop category, which makes me sad as a U.S. fan. But A, maybe I'll be wrong and they turn it around, which would be great. Or B, maybe it's a wake-up call and there's some big changes, organizational changes made to try and put their best foot forward for the World Cup. But you also, I mean, obviously you're an Ecuador fan first, and I want to talk about Ecuador too, but you watch the U.S. men's national team a lot as well, and you follow up with it. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on it.
I think that there's a lot of questions right now with this U.S. team, you know, especially with the group that they're in. They're in the group with Uruguay, which are the co-favorites to win
the tournament,
Copa America. So I think that's number one. They're in a tough situation to start with. And I look at Panama, you know, the most recent games against them, they actually lost in the CONCACAF Gold Cup in penalties to Panama. So you look at Panama, that's not necessarily going to be the easiest rival. Then before that, in the actual qualifiers for the World Cup, they lost one match against Panama 1-0, and then they go and they beat them 5-1. So I think it's a sense of consistency also. This has been a very inconsistent U.S. team. In my eyes, they should be Bolivia. So Bolivia is a team that I watch a lot, especially in South America, because Ecuador has to face them and World Cup qualifiers for CONMEBOL. So I think Bolivia is a very, very much a beatable team for the USA. The USA shouldn't. I mean, if they lose against Bolivia, they're not making it out of the group. They have to beat Bolivia. The big question is figure out what you can do with Uruguay, but you need to beat Bolivia and Panama, and that's the path to get out of the group. So they need to make sure they do that, and they need to be consistent. So that's kind of where the questions are about that team. They've got a lot of young players, a lot of good players, a lot of players that are playing in Europe. As you mentioned before, one of the best teams that the U.S. has been able to count on. So I think there's a lot of pressure on the players, but more than the players themselves, there's a lot of pressure on Greg Berhalter. His job has come into question a lot of times, a lot of times.
And he lost it and then got it back.
Exactly. He got it back and immediately goes into question. They questioned why he got it back. And now they're questioning why he's still the coach. And I think that this is going to be a big time indicator. What happens now, where he exits this tournament, is going to really speak volumes on how long he'll have his job. You know, they made huge mistakes against Colombia in preparation for this Copa America, a really good Colombia team, but there are mistakes that need to be addressed if they want to be able to do good in this Group C. And I think for me that they should make it out of Group C. It should be them and Uruguay. If they don't make it out of Group C, I think it's a flop. If they make it out of quarterfinals, that to me, I wouldn't call it a flop. I think I'm not sure if I expect them to make it out of quarterfinals, because I think they're going to be facing, who is it they're going to face? Maybe Brazil.
Probably, yeah.
Brazil. So that's going to be much tougher. But to me, the biggest flop is if they don't make it out of the group stage.
Yeah. And if they don't, I think it'll be back to square one, but we'll see. We'll definitely see and watch. You know, they played much better against Brazil than they did against Colombia, but I think part of it's mentality and thinking that you deserve and you earn to be on that stage playing against those top components, you know? So it'll be interesting to see. We'll definitely keep talking about it as we keep getting those results. And then I'd say the next category is sort of these teams where they could either, you know, they could have a really great run, they could bow out early, you're not exactly sure what it's going to look like. I would say, you know, like Chile, Ecuador, maybe Peru, like those teams where, you know, I think Ecuador is probably the best out of those three, but in general, kind of like those teams where you don't know exactly where it's going to end up for them. And, you know, you could see it going in a bunch of different directions. And so I think that will be an example of, with each match day, we'll have a better idea of how far we think those teams can go.
Yeah, I think Ecuador is a team that a lot of people really kind of forget about. Ecuador, to me, is probably the fifth behind Brazil as far as favorites to win this tournament. Ecuador has done very well. They're currently fifth in CONMEBOL. They could have been higher, except that they got some points taken away from them due to some issues there that we're not even going to get into that shouldn't have been. But I think Ecuador has a really good team right now. They have probably one of the best teams that they've had in their history, because they have a lot of players that are playing in Europe. And if they're not playing in Europe, they're playing in Brazil, and top teams in Brazil. You have Ener Valencia, who is a captain that's been there for a long time, that's leading this team and has to take on a big role, not only offensively and scoring, but also really leading the youngsters that are on this Ecuador team. They have an amazing player called Kendry Páez, who is basically, to me, Kendry Páez is the Lamine Yamal of South America. Like, he is a really young kid that is very versatile, very fast, very creative with the ball. So I think that you know, he's probably going to be a name to keep an eye on in this Copa America. I think that, you know,
you have Caicedo. Caicedo.
Yeah, Moises Caicedo from Chelsea.
Estupiñán, right?
Estupiñán, who plays, I believe it's right back, if I'm not mistaken. I got confused right now, but I think he plays right back. He's an amazing player as well. They made it to the quarters in 2016 and 2021. Unfortunately, they haven't been really able to do too much and get really far in this tournament. And I think this is probably going to be the best opportunity for Ecuador in their history in this cup to really be able to make it far. And I really think that they'll make it out of this group stage. You know, they have to play against Venezuela, they have to play against Mexico, and they have to play against Jamaica. Not all of that is easy. As we said, Mexico can surprise you. Venezuela has been a team that's gotten a lot better. They were always the kind of the butt of the joke in South America, along with Bolivia, always at the bottom of the table. But Venezuela has changed the way that they address football, soccer, football in their country. And they've done a great job with how they bring players up, young players, and I think it's a completely different Venezuela team that can make some noise, so I wouldn't count them out. And then Jamaica, you know, Jamaica, I think to me is a team that these other teams should be able to beat. Maybe it's probably the team at the bottom of the table in that group because of the fact that they're facing a lot of injuries. They don't have DeMar Gray, their goalie Andre Blake, who we know from MLS, and who's been a staple in that team, is probably, you know, he's on the roster, but he hasn't actually traveled with the team because he's still rehabbing some knee issues. So I think that that Jamaica team, because of the injuries, they're not at full strength. So they might be a team, again, at the bottom in that group. But to me, when you look at Group B, it's going to be Ecuador and Venezuela, in my eyes. I think those are the
two guys. Over Mexico, you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be I think Ecuador is the one that everybody expects to make it out of that group. And I think Venezuela is going to be the one to surprise everybody to come out as well.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's going to be Mexico, not Venezuela, but I think we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I agree. And then, you know, Ecuador, to your point, I think is a league above the others, but I still, in my mind, am categorizing it kind of like you said, the top echelon, that top tier of Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Uruguay. I think there, I would be very shocked if we don't see some version of those four teams in, like, you know, the quarter semifinals, that area. I think it'd be really surprising, but you never know. I think the middle, where it could be, you know, a team can really surprise you positively or negatively, would be Ecuador, would be the U.S., Chile, maybe Paraguay, maybe Mexico. You know, you never know what you're going to get out of them in those tournaments. You know, they still have a lot of quality players. And then the bottom, I think, is going to still have, you know, like the – or maybe even Peru. Peru could maybe surprise people too, I think. But
I think for Chile, just wanted to mention, since you talked about Chile, you know, Chile are really a completely different – very far away team from what they were when they won the back-to-back Copa Americas in 2015 and 2016.
But they still have some of those quality players, which is why I say in international tournaments, you just never know.
Well, I think with Chile, one of the issues with Chile is they didn't do a good job of rejuvenating that team.
Yeah.
They stuck too long with that winning team. They tried to milk it as much as possible. And when they tried to kind of transition to a new iteration of that team, it was too late. And those are the issues that they've had, I think, as of late. Right now, they're eighth in CONMEBOL, in the CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers. They're not doing well at all. However, they did lift the trophy the last time that the Copa America was played here in the USA. And even though they've been up and down over the last 2 years, they do have some quality on that team. You know, I don't think guys like Gary Medel are playing anymore, or Arturo Vidal, some of the guys that were
But Alexis Sanchez still.
Yeah, Alexis Sanchez, or the ghost of Alexis Sanchez, if you want to call it that. Like, these are players that were very key over the last few years, and now it's not that team, but they still have some. They can surprise, is what I'm saying, but they're definitely not the Chile that we knew over the last few years.
No, I think I'll be really interested to see specifically, like, Paraguay, Chile, Peru, like those three teams. I'm be really interested to see how that, and Paraguay too has kind of been in that space where they've had a couple good, really good spells where you have like Miguel Almirón and you have a couple others who really like shine.
Yeah.
But then they kind of also then kind of fall back and don't have it. So they'll be part of that.
Which is going to be a great match. So if you're listening to it today, what's today, on Friday.
Yeah.
We have a great game, a great match, which is the second match of Copa America, Peru Chile. Which anytime Peru and Chile play, it's always a barn. It's
fireworks,
always
fireworks.
It's a great game, so I'm looking forward to that one tonight.
Agreed. And so, you know, to kind of wrap it up, again, we could in go through every single team and talk a lot about that, but then this will be a very long show. I think as we get through each match day and we see things that, like we said, there are going to be surprises. There are going to be good surprises and there are going to be bad surprises. That's part of international tournaments. There will be some more of those teams, like maybe a Bolivia, a Venezuela, a Jamaica. You never know. You never know how a team's going to play. And so we'll have to wait and see. But it's going to be, it's a really exciting tournament. We're glad we got to see, of course, Lionel Messi kick it off with what was not their best performance, but they still ended up winning 2-0. They probably got rid of a lot of those nerves. The atmosphere was incredible. It's going to be really exciting. It's going to be a really, really exciting tournament. And we're going to be here every step of the way. So thank you for watching. Please let us know in the comments what you think about our predictions and our thoughts and the favorites and the flops. And if we didn't talk enough about your team that you follow, let us know in the comments and tell us what you think we should be talking about, because there's so many, there's a lot of teams. There's a lot of players, a lot of opportunity, a lot of heartbreak that will be coming soon. And so that's kind of part of it. And again, we want to thank Better Edge so much for becoming a partner with us. And like we said, download the Better Edge app, put in code 5RSN, and you'll get $20 in your account ready to go so you can start making some bets and props. We'll be posting on social media what we think some of ours are, and you can either join us or you could fade us depending on who it is. And it'll be really fun. As always, make sure you're following us on Twitter @@MessiAndCo so that for not only Messi and not only Inter Miami news, but also Copa America. We'll be giving our updates, surprise performances, upsets, you know, incredible goals, all those kind of things. And we'll be, like we said, at the end of all the match days and the stages, we'll be doing these episodes to talk about it and to talk about what's coming next. So, yeah, and make sure you're following us on YouTube, 5 Reasons Sports, notification bell on, like and comment. Let us know who your favorite is, who your flop is, and maybe who your surprise, your dark horse will be. And it'll be really interesting to see. So
love it. Excited for this tournament. Yeah. And this was a really great time here, just talking about who we think is going to win and who we think is going to flop.
It was great, right? It's nice. Yeah. I mean, we talk a lot about Inter Miami. We talk about as much as possible with Inter Miami. Yeah. So it's nice to talk about something different.
But excited. And for me, I'll speak for myself here. I love to see some surprises. So I'm looking forward to what surprises we'll see in this tournament. But we'll be doing a bunch more episodes. We'll be coming. We'll announce it. But we'll, as we said earlier on in the show, I think it's probably around Tuesday, we'll be on with a recap episode. So we're just excited to share all this month long with Copa America with you guys. And it's definitely going to be a blast.
Agreed. Couldn't said it by myself, Gian. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Messi & Co. Copa America official preview with Better Edge. We will see you next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine & Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.